Keith, it's wonderful to see everybody. And if you'd like to turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we'll begin reading at verse 10. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet from them all, the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and impostors will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We're in a series on Sunday mornings looking at worship and looking at why we worship as we do here at St. Clement's. We have an order to our worship here at St. Clement's, and the Bible has a central part in that order. You might notice that in our service, our service is interspersed with readings from Scripture, and we spend half an hour looking at a particular passage. Now, my question that I want us to look at this morning is this: why do we do that? Why is the Bible so central in our service? And how can we receive and listen to the Bible well? 2 Timothy is arguably the last book that the Apostle Paul wrote. It contains, as it were, his last will and testament. He might even have been put to death soon after it was written. And he writes this book to his disciple Timothy to instruct him how he should conduct his ministry as a missionary, as a bishop in the city of Ephesus. And he's writing not just to him, but to the whole church, and how the whole church should conduct itself. And here in these last words of his last words, his focus is on Scripture. It's on the Bible. He concludes his letter by talking about the Bible and the importance of the Bible. And so as we look at these words, I want us to think about three things when it comes to the Bible. What is it? Why? What does it do? And how can we receive it? So what is it? What does it do? And how can we receive and listen to it? So first of all, what does Paul say it is? Well, verse 16, he says, all scripture is breathed out by God. Now that word scripture is a technical word in the Greek, which refers to, it always refers to either the Old Testament or the New Testament. It's mentioned 51 times in the Bible. And Paul is saying this. He's saying all the Old Testament and all the New Testament is breathed out by God. It comes from God's mouth. That is, every single word that you read in the Bible has been written by a particular person. Moses or David or Paul or Peter or John. But every single word in the Bible has also come from God himself. The Bible has got two authors, therefore, a human author and a divine author. The words that we read in the Bible are the words of men, but they are also the words of God himself. What does that mean for us? Well, it means that God has revealed himself to us. You can't know a person unless they reveal themselves to you. And we're told here that God has revealed himself. He's not hidden himself from us. He's not far away. He has revealed himself to you and me. And we're told that he has done that in a book. God has revealed himself through words written in a book. And this is a book of words. This isn't a picture book. God hasn't revealed himself in pictures. He's revealed himself in words, in a fixed place here in the Bible. Now, someone might say, okay, but hasn't God revealed himself in other ways? What about creation? What about nature? Well, the Bible says that God has revealed himself in creation. In Psalm 19, we're told, oh, the heavens declare the glory of God. If you read Psalm 8, it talks about the majesty of God displayed in the things that he has made. But our sin and the fact that we're not infinite means we don't see God clearly in nature. You know, you might go to the Lake District and see a wonderful, and see Windermere and see the beautiful mountains and see the fantastic autumn-coloured leaves on the trees. And you might say, well, I see God. And someone else might say, I see rocks and water and photosynthesis. You can look at nature and not see God. But even when you do see God in nature, even when you do see God's fingerprints in the things that he has made, they tell us about him. They don't help us to know him. Romans chapter 1 tells us this. The things that God has made tell us about his power. How great he is. You look at the stars and you see the billions of stars. You say, how great must the person be who has made all of those? You see his wisdom in the way that creation just fits together so it works. You see God's goodness in giving us a beautiful world to enjoy. You see these things. You can know about God, but you can't know God through creation, through the things that you see. You can know him as creator, but you can't know him as savior. But the remarkable thing this morning is this. And this is what Paul's saying here in this letter. He's saying, you can know God. Because God has revealed himself. He has spoken. He's spoken to you. He's spoken to me. You can hear his voice in the words of the Bible. Sometimes people say to me, they say, I wish I could hear God's voice. I wish God would speak to me. Well, Paul says, he is doing. He's spoken to us in the scriptures. That's why on a Sunday after we've read the Bible, we say, this is the word of the Lord. Because we're reading not just the words of human beings, we're reading something that's come from God's mouth himself. Something that's come from God's mouth. So that is what the Bible is. So what does the Bible do? Well, Paul tells us in verse 15. He says to Timothy, from childhood, you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. What a blessing it was for Timothy to be brought up with a Christian mum and a Christian grandma who taught him the scriptures. Because these scriptures, Paul calls them here sacred writings. It's same. He's describing the same thing. He says, these reveal a clear and plain message from God. That's what the scriptures do. A clear and plain message of salvation from God himself. See, the Bible is God's message to you and me. It's not primarily God's instructions. Although, as we've been told, there are a lot of instructions in the Bible. But if it was simply instructions, then words might not be the best way to express it. Or at least not the only way. And when I'm trying to put together flat pack furniture, the instructions that I'm given are not as helpful as the YouTube video that I watch 50 times. See, the Bible is a message, and a message needs words. And this is a message of salvation. What is that message? Well, it's a message of God's love for a broken and messed up world. God created this world perfect. He created Adam and Eve in his image to reflect him, to be in relationship with him. But what did they do? And what have we all done ever since? We've turned our back on God. We've rejected him and his and our relationship with him. We've turned our back on him and we said we want to run our lives our way and do what we think is right. And that has brought misery and destruction into our lives and into this world. But God loves this world and he loves you and me. And he loved us so much that he wasn't willing to leave us in that brokenness, but to send his son into the world. And he did that 2,000 years ago, born as a baby, laid in a manger. He lived a life of poverty, doing miracles and good wherever he went. And then he died on a cross. Died for the brokenness of our lives. Died for the brokenness of this world. Paying for our sins and being punished by God in our place. And then he rose again 3 days later to prove that he'd done what he came to do. And he was exalted into heaven. And he now sits at the right hand of God. And he has sent his spirit down into this world to apply what he's done into our lives. So that if you turn away from your sins and for living for yourself and living with yourself as the boss of your life, and you turn to him and put your trust in Jesus Christ, then you can be rescued. You can be delivered from sin and from misery. You can be brought back into relationship with God again because you can have your sins forgiven. See, that's God's message to you and me. You see, God loves us so much, he wants us to hear that message and receive that message. And the reason, therefore, that the Bible is so central in our services is because we need to hear that message. We need to hear this message of salvation, this message of God's love. Because we forget so easily. We need to be reminded of it week by week. We need to be reminded that God loves us. Because that's what Christianity is about. Christianity is not about us loving God. Christianity is about us knowing that God loves us. That's why on a Sunday, the Bible is so central, because we're not here to tell God how much we love Him. We're here to hear how much He loves us. That's what we need to know. That's what gives us grace and hope and confidence and power to live each week, no matter what circumstances we face. Because we know that God loves us and has sent His Son to die for us. One of the ways the Bible describes itself is as food. So again, in Psalm 19, David says that your word is sweeter than honey. It's food for our souls. And so when you come to church on a Sunday, one way to think about it is that you're coming to a banquet. You're coming to a feast, a five-course meal, to feed your souls. And the more you feed your soul, the stronger and the healthier and the more mature you'll be. Just as physical food strengthens our bodies and nourishes our bodies, and as children grow up, it makes them bigger and more mature. So God's word feeds our souls. And the more you feed on it, and the more you let it, the more you receive it, and the more you let it impact your life, the stronger and the healthier and the more mature you will be. The bigger your soul will be. And so the question for us this morning is this: how can we receive God's word like that? How can we listen to God's word so that it does feed our souls? Because it's possible to come to church and not let the Bible feed your soul. Not let the word of God strengthen your heart. Not hear how much God actually loves you. And so how can we receive that? Let me give you five things that you can do, five ways to receive God's word, to listen carefully to it so that it will nourish your soul. First of all, prepare prayerfully. Prepare prayerfully. If you are at school and you're studying Macbeth by Shakespeare, how helpful would it be, or would it have been, if William Shakespeare had turned up next to you and told you what it meant and how it applied and why he'd written what he'd written? Do you know, when you read the Bible, written by the Holy Spirit, you can ask the Holy Spirit to come alongside you and to help you understand what he's written and why he's written what he's written and how you can apply that to your life. He's the author. And so ask him. Ask him to help you. When you open the Bible, when you come to church, before the service, spend a moment praying and say, Lord, speak to me. Help me understand what you have written here, because these are your words. And I need help applying them to my life. Now, I do realize that Sunday mornings can be a bit chaotic, especially if you've got young children, and you can just feel like, well, I've got here, even if I've just bundled my way into church. great. But the longer you can spend, even if it's just for a minute, praying and asking God to help you receive his word well, the more you will get out of it. But second, examine it carefully. Don't receive God's word uncritically. Just because the preacher says something, don't mean that it's true. You know, I was in a discussion a while ago with someone, and we were discussing the Bible, and they didn't agree with what I was saying. And I encouraged them to look at the Bible, and the response was to go to somebody on YouTube and show me what they had said about it. And I wanted to encourage them, that's fine, they've said that, but what does the Bible say? Because preachers get things wrong. And churches get things wrong. And denominations get things wrong. And we can be influenced by those things more than we're influenced by the Bible. And so we need to, when we hear the Bible preached, when we read the Bible ourselves, examine it carefully. Use one bit of scripture and another bit of scripture and use them to interpret each other. That's what Christians have always done. And allow the Bible to speak to you rather than the church. Or the sub-Christian or the Christian subculture that you grew up in. Or our wider culture. Examine it carefully. Receive it, this is third, receive it humbly. After what I've just said about examining it carefully, there is another issue, which is you can sit in judgment on the preacher. And we do that. We can ask ourselves, especially if you are new in a church, do I actually like the preacher? Do I agree with what they're saying? Do I like the way that it's coming across? And, you know, I want to be honest here. As a minister myself, when I visit other churches, I can be really critical. Are they handling the Bible correctly? Have they got 3 points in their sermon? They haven't. And so we can sit in judgment on the preacher. And if you do that, then you're not going to receive what God has got for you. You need to do what my wife used to do when she went to a church where the preaching was hit and miss. She would go and she would say, along with a friend, what one thing does God want to say to me through the sermon this morning? What one thing am I going to receive from him? He's going to speak to me. Even if the preaching's a bit all over the place. What can I receive? What is the one thing he wants to say to me? Come with that heart. God has got food for your soul. Receive what he's got on offer. Fourth, think deeply about what you read and hear. Think deeply about it. When cows eat grass, they don't spend long chewing it. They just swallow. And then what they do when they're sitting down is they regurgitate stuff from their stomach and chew on it to get the goodness from it. And so be like cows. You receive a lot on a Sunday morning. Store it up in your heart and feed your soul on it during the week. Think about it. Mull on it. Mull on words. Mull on phrases. Mull on ideas. Mull on these things. Chew on these things. Get the goodness out of it throughout the week. And the more you let the knowledge of what you hear, the knowledge of God's grace, the knowledge of God's love, the more you mull on those things, the more you'll be letting it feed your soul. And finally, talk about it regularly. If you've got a passion for something, one of the ways to kindle that passion and to increase that passion is by talking about it. Whether that's gardening or football or whatever it is, the more you talk about that thing, the more you stir the passion in your heart. Well, the same is true with the Bible. If you want your passion for the Bible to grow and your desire for God to grow, talk about what you hear. Talk about what you read. Talk to friends. Talk to people over tea and coffee after the service. Discuss the scriptures. Discuss the sermon. Discuss your morning devotions. Discuss what God has said to you personally and specifically, what God has revealed to you about himself, how God's love has impacted you particularly. And as you do that, it will encourage you. It will feed your soul. I've been frustrated recently with senior church leaders who I think have been and are hindering God's kingdom from growing. And I've been in some discussions with some of them. And when I was particularly frustrated a week or so ago, I opened my Bible to my morning devotions and read Psalm 35. It was the next psalm I was supposed to be reading. And it begins with these words. Contend, O Lord, with those who contend with me. Fight against those who fight against me. And I heard God speaking to me in that moment. And he said to me, ask me to fight on your behalf. This is ultimately my fight, not yours. You're a soldier in my army. But ask me, the commanding officer, to do the fighting, to win the war, to enable my kingdom to advance, no matter what obstacles are put in the way. And that encouraged me. God speaking to me like that and saying, you can just tear your hands off. Ask me to be the warrior. See, God wants to talk to you like that. And he will do it as you open the Bible, as you listen to sermons. And the more you listen, the more you read, the more you study, and the more you ask God to help you understand and the Holy Spirit to come alongside and to illuminate the pages of the scriptures, the more he will feed your soul, the more you'll have to share with others, and the more then that can encourage your soul as you share with one another. And the more you'll grow as a believer, the more mature you'll become, and the healthier you'll be. Let me pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Help us to be people who know it, love it, and receive it well. Help us to be open to what you have got to say to us. Speak to us through your word, week by week as we come to church, day by day as we open it, and feed our souls, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.